You're listening to the Westchester Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ.
It's definitely great to be here today. My name is Dave Mitchell, and I get the joy and honor of being the chapter director for the New York Metro Hope for a Why. So it is great to come here before you this morning, and I know they're going to be changing up the computer here for a second, but it's good just to see you, and thank you for all of your incredible work that you do. I get to hear your stories. You have incredible couples, the Mariscotts and the Ronanders, leading you guys powerfully, so let's hear it for those guys as well. They come and brag about you often at our meetings, and so it's great to see you in person and be back. I think last year when I came, it was your first or second time meeting in this building, and you hadn't quite merged yet, so it's great to see everybody here, and we're going to get started. Awesome. So one of the things that we're going to talk about today is, as it commands us here in Ephesians 6, is to be strong in the Lord and His mighty power, okay? But I just want to make sure here that there's room to grow in your strength of power. So, can anyone here handle a little more strength than God? If you could, just raise your hand. Okay. Is anyone just completely maxed out? Or you just feel like, you know, you're maxed out? Okay. Actually, can you come lead this sermon then? Please. Oh, you okay there? Okay. Right? When can we not use more strength in God, right? I mean, the power, give me some more. We got the preteens over here. You guys can use a little more strength, right? All right, where's the teens? Are the teens over here too? Teens? They're mixed up. Okay, you got the mixed teen section. I see one back there. Any single professionals in here? Got the singles, all right. And the marriage ministry. All right. So the goal of today's message is to help you be stronger spiritually. Are you okay with that? Let me know if we get there, all right? Let me know if you feel stronger after this. So, why do we need to be stronger spiritually? Why is this such a big deal? Where there's this little verse in Ephesians 6 that talks about some things that we should probably be aware of. So let's read it together. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Has anyone ever seen any of that with your eyes? You think our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but we definitely have an enemy, don't we? Right? And then there's this thing that the Bible talks about that's coming up in your life, it's coming up in my life. If you look at the next verse in verse 13, it says, therefore put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And then after you've done everything, remember the Weebles? Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down? Sorry, preteens, that was a toy that was around when I was your age, but remember the Weebles? You can't knock them down. Oops. Sorry. So as disciples, when the day of evil comes, we want to be standing, right? So today, we're going to be talking about how do we stand? This day is coming. So how do we stay strong for it? I found this picture of Joe Quesada. I was rummaging through my stuff. This was his senior yearbook picture right here. If you don't know Joe, stand up for a second. He's still got the hair. He doesn't have the little curly cue, but he's still got the hair. A lot of times when we think about getting stronger spiritually, we kind of think of like physical brute strength, right? This is a great picture. Zipman, he's ripped. He's on fire. He's completely... I mean, look at that. And we can look at that and go, that's what it means to be strong. So when it comes to being strong spiritually, sometimes, what can we think? I could never be like that. Has anyone ever felt that way? Someone who's speaking to you, or maybe the person sitting next to you, do you ever feel like, I just can't be like him? TJ, stand up for a second. Stand up. Is this guy awesome or what? TJ know him that well. We just spend a little bit of time together each year, but he's grown more than anybody I know. TJ is such a great example of someone who's really strong spiritually. But it's easy to have heroes like that and just go, but that's TJ. That's not me. Okay? So today we're going to talk about a way that all of us can get strong. Amen? Because we're going to look at what it means to be strong. This really, when I started putting this message together a while ago, this definition really helped me a lot. Because what stands out to you, you can't really see the top too well. It says strong at the top. Able to withstand great force or pressure. That's the definition of being strong. What strikes you about that definition? Is it a proactive definition or a reactive definition? It's a reactive definition, right? So it's not that being strong spiritually or being strong in general is where you're just like Superman and you're proactively throwing trains and buses and stopping things. It's that you're able to withstand the great force or pressure that's coming at you. Okay? So, again, by the end of today, we're going to talk about how you can do this in an amazing way. Amen? All right. So, a little bit different picture of Superman this time, huh? A little bit different here. What's going on? The kryptonite. You know what I found out yesterday? Yesterday I went to a comics festival. The Starbucks that I hang out at, the barista is a comic book artist. So he's like, hey, come down to Dewey's Comics down in Madison. I'm giving you free pictures out and all. So we go, and guess what I found out? You probably know this already, but there's more than one kryptonite. There's like six. You want to talk about it, Kev? No, you're good? You're good? Okay. But there's more than one. There's like six. There's like six different kryptonites. And this one, the green one, will kill him. Because why? He's not able to withstand the green kryptonite. It will take him out. What are the things that can take us out? What are the things spiritually that can take us out of the game and really put us out of strength? You know, emotions, loneliness. You know, how many times, look at the apple on the right. He's not so happy. But what that little sticker is his Facebook post. Because the 10 minutes a day that he is happy, he shoots about 20 selfies. Okay? So he shoots the 20 selfies, he puts them on Facebook, and everyone else thinks what? Green Apple's happy. But guess what? Green Apple's not happy. That's only his social media face. The truth is that he's really hurting inside and he needs some help. You know, Ecclesiastes 4:4, this scripture will test your faith. Look what it says. And I saw that all toil, this is Solomon writing, I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from everyone's pure love for God. Everybody just wants to work super hard for Jesus. Is that what he said? Look at that. All toil and achievement spring from one person's envy of another. In other words, we'd all be completely satisfied with what we achieve, but someone shows up with a new pair of sneakers, and we're like, dude, I gotta have those. Someone gets a bigger house. Dude, my house was fine till I saw the bigger house, right? My car was fine till the new bottle came out, right? That's an intense scripture. It's in the Bible. All achievements spring from one person's envy of someone else. That's intense. I call this the bigger ice cream syndrome. Again, I'm fine with my little ice pop until my sister comes down with the double scoop. Right? Now, life's not so good. See his face? He's like, dang, I should have waited. I could have got me a big old vanilla ice cream. How about this one? I think this was my hardest one. When I became a Christian, I broke up with my girlfriend at the time, and for the next 4 years until I met my awesome wife, Margie, this was me a lot of times. I'd see people holding hands and clothes, and I was like, oh my gosh, I want one of those. I want one of those girlfriend things. I want a hug, you know? And so this was really hard for me personally. during that time in my life. I'm sure none of us struggle with wanting like the latest phone, the latest tablet, right? No one struggles with that, right? The new TV, no one possibly could struggle with that. But this guy is struggling because she just got the iPhone 16 and he's still back with the iPhone 2. All right. So how about work? We got anybody that does anyone work here? Anybody? Okay, good. So we do have people who work here. How about that? How about the challenges of work? How about the pressure you can feel? Anyone, don't tell me your boss's name, but anybody ever be asked to lie on the job? Little white lie, right? Anyone ever get asked to compromise your convictions? Anyone ever get caught at the water stand where there's tons of gossip going on? And you want to talk so bad. You want to jump in so bad. You're like bleeding because you're biting your tongue in your mouth. How about the preteens, right? What kind of stuff do you guys go through at school? I mean, just you're not working yet, but right, just the temptation at work can be a challenge. We have someone with us today. I'm going to call her up. Susan, come on up. Who's really been a great example at her workplace. And it's not so challenging. She is the boss at her workplace, so she has a little more control than some of us. But I'm going to have Susan share about the pressures that the world can put on, even as a business owner, and how she dealt with it. We're going to watch her video first, and then Susan's going to share. So there she is, and here's a video.
My name is Susan Correa. I'm the CEO and founder of Art in Eden. We are absolutely delighted to be here in El Salvador today to launch our Clothes for Cure program. Art in Eden is quite simply a business that is on a mission to be the best in the world by being best for the world. It's a purpose-driven business that has adopted sustainability to be better for the planet. We care about working in fair trade factories to be better for people. And we are here to work with local and global communities to be better for the community at large. We believe in buying better and doing better.
We are so excited to partner with Hope and work next to them to bring medication, bring vitamins to these children that really need them. And it's just so cool to see this firsthand, to know that like what we're actually doing is actually making a difference and is actually helping these children. We were just counting out vitamins for each of the children, and I was thinking each day, each number is another day that this is going to help improve these children's lives.
So not only are you buying a better product, but also you are impacting so many more people, so many other people, these children that need these multivitamins in order to grow and be parasite-free and develop. And that's so important because it's helping their future, help them learn better in school and get better jobs and then make a better life for themselves. So it's such a bigger impact.
Buy better, do better.
I've had the incredible good fortune to really have never worked a day in my life. I found a job I loved, and I loved the job I found. I grew up by default in the business of fashion, and over the last two decades have led multi-million dollar businesses across India, Europe, Canada, and the United States. Business for me was simple and easy to understand. Profit was our purpose. Results had to be tangible. As leaders of business, we were ambitious. We wanted to conquer the world. We had to be first. We had to be fast. We had to be bold. We gathered titles, and we grew in self-significance. As I studied out Christianity, it was not so simple and easy to understand. It was, on the contrary, complex, paradoxical, and for most part, the inverse logic of Christianity seemed diametrically opposed to everything that I had learned in business. You had to be last to be first, meek to inherit the earth. You had to lose yourself to find yourself. You had to give before you received, and there was strength in surrender. The mandate of Christianity was not to conquer the world. It was to be obedient to the world. Business kept us focused on success. Christ's message was love, compassion, and redemption. And no, it was not about gathering titles and growing in self-significance. It was, instead, as Christ taught us, he got out the towel and showed us what it meant to be a servant leader. Why did the tenets of commerce have to be so diametrically opposed to Christianity? Could I reimagine a different faith for the future of business? What would the business of benevolence look like? And could I find a place where profit and purpose came together? As I started to search for these answers, two incredible Christians impacted my life. One was my brother Ian, who at a very early stage of accepting Christianity, gave up a life of profit to pursue a greater purpose and a greater meaning to his life, and left the comfort of our home to walk with courage into a leprosy colony where he served for 10 years, bringing hope to what the world had put aside as hopeless behind the high walls of ostracization and stigma. The other incredible individual who made a very significant impact to my life was none other than Dave Mitchell. For 10 years as part of the Northern New Jersey Church, I heard Dave preach. And every time he preached, I saw the unveiling of his heart, and in that mirrored a heart of Jesus, a heart that cared and delighted in serving the poor and meeting needs of the less fortunate. That was the difference that made a big difference to my life as I sought out a greater purpose and a greater meaning to my journey. It was August 18th, 2014. In an effort to make business better, I partnered with Hope Worldwide and launched a program called Empower. For every garment I sold in one of my businesses, we fed a child in the Hope Foundation School in India. It began as a simple project and a simple collaboration, but in under 2 years, we served 186,000 meals. I entered the school that day incredibly fired up to make a difference to the life of those 400 kids. I left that evening totally transformed. The kids had changed my life. For too long in my life, I had looked but never cared to see. I had heard but really didn't listen. That day, I saw the needs. I heard the dreams. I recognized that I could stop searching for someone else to do something about the great divides and the unfair contrasts of the world. I was someone. I was perfectly capable of doing something that mattered. I had found my why, and that's how I found my way forward. Almost unknowingly to me, I planted the seeds of what became Art in Eden, a business that was fundamentally built to be better for the world. We slowed down the fast fashion momentum, and we built better processes so that we could be better for the planet. We built a better business model to value every single person in the value chain, where profit became a shared value. We built a better product to be better for the little children who would wear our clothing. 8 months before our business even launched, we partnered with Hope Worldwide again and confirmed funding for their entire program in Central America for the nutrition optimization program, committing to 1 million multivitamins and 7,000 doses of albendazole to impact and improve lives of little children out there. Woo-hoo! Dave and Margie Mitchell and their boys, Keenan and Seth, have done incredible work in a school in Newark in New Jersey. The Camden Street School houses 627 kids, 90% of which are below the poverty line, and 40% of which are special needs. Our entire Art in Eden team gets to mentor kids in the school once every month, bringing hope and bringing joy and experiences to the life of these kids that they've never had before. Art in Eden is very much a for-profit business, but we have found our greater purpose. We have brought conscience back to commerce. Brothers and sisters, we're not called to do great things. Really, we're called to do little things with great love. And as Martin Luther King said, everybody can be great because anybody can serve. We just need a heart full of grace and a soul full of love. Thank you.
Amen. Amazing, right? Amazing. And it's an example of someone who's taken the gifts that God's given them and the strength that they have and saying, you know what, I can do something with my piece of bread. I can put my piece of bread in the basket and feed the 5,000 people. And when all of us do that in here, if you look around, we're very different. We've got age differences, all kinds of differences in this room. But if we all put in our little piece, the world can be changed. And the world will be changed. Amen? So in the video, that was an example of a community service brigade. This shirt right here is from El Salvador. Do you like it?
Woo-woo-woo!
I like it, but it's from El Salvador. It reminds me of the community service brigades. I've had the incredible pleasure of being on 10 brigades, and it's an amazing time. My family has come on almost all of them with me. I'll show you the picture in a second. But I definitely want to encourage you to understand one thing. You do not need to be medically trained to go on a community service brigade. I'd say about 40% of the brigades are not medically trained. And you do lots of fun things. You play with the kids. You can count vitamins. I can't count that well, so they put me in the fluoride station. I do the fluoride and brush the teeth and wash the hands. But if any of you guys want to do that, this summer they're going to Guatemala and Honduras. You just go to the Hope website, hopeww.org/CSB, and that stands for Community Service Brigade. So thank you, Susan. That was fantastic. What's going on here with this guy? What's happening to him? He is getting... Okay, we see some hands going up. Thank you. If I had a cordless mic, I would pass it. He is getting slammed right here, isn't he? The marketing... Everything that he doesn't have is he's hearing about right now, right? You don't have this. You don't have this. Buy this. Get this. Have this. There's a lot of pressure going on. And does he look happy? That's not a very happy character, is it? No, because why? Because he's being reminded about everything he doesn't have. The pressure to buy, the pressure to be consumeristic, we'd all be lying if we don't feel that, right? So I want you to watch this for a second.
So the cool thing you can do...
I'm going to turn it up just a bit.
Here, right? I got a pressure cooker.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a little bit of water to my pressure cooker. All right? And then some little balls of aluminum foil. And I'm going to throw four of those in there. I got two in there already. We're making this a platform. Okay? We're going to put this lid on top of the styrofoam so it doesn't get wet.
Okay.
On top of that, we're going to add some styrofoam cups. Okay? So just put two of them in there. Make sure they're not touching one another. And then seal it up.
Okay.
Right, now, a pressure cooker works by trapping all that gas inside. So we'll just put this right on the burner right now. Okay? And we're going to let it go, seal it. It's going to build up a lot of pressure. It's going to reach probably 15 psi inside there, which is one atmosphere. So it's actually reaching double atmospheric pressure.
It is now 20 minutes later. We are back. These styrofoam cups have been cooking, and hopefully some magic's been going on within that pressure cooker.
Exactly. And we released the steam pressure from inside, so we can safely open this up now. And when we do, we'll take a peek inside here. Look at that. That's the coolest.
That's cool.
Check this out. It's like little cappuccino cups.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so we started with this.
Okay.
And then by adding 15 pounds.
How about that? So what happened was they took a styrofoam cup, they put it in a pressure cooker, and they doubled the amount of pressure that exists in that we're feeling right now that's keeping us from floating off into space. And what happened was, as you can see from the picture right there, the cups shrunk to a third or a fourth of their original size. What's the effect to the world of a styrofoam cup being shrunk? Not much. What's the effect of a church when the church is under the pressure of the world and we get shrunk to a fourth of our size? We have this treasure in jars of clay, right? like the Bible says. But the jars become small and can't handle the treasure. It just falls out the sides. And there's less treasure that we can carry because our convictions and our life and our purpose can get shrunk way down. Remember a guy in the Bible named Peter? Peter was in a pressure cooker the night of the crucifixion, wasn't he? The night before the crucifixion. Where he saw Jesus get laid up, and then he's like, I don't even know the man. Three times, curses, shrunk down by the pressure that he might get led to the same road that Jesus was on. Okay, so we've spent a lot of time talking about pressure. I thought this was a Hope Worldwide service. Are you ready to see how this connects? Are you ready to see how you can be stronger spiritually? All right, here we go. So remember, being strong, able to withstand the great force or pressure. So look at this for a second. This is a soda bottle that's hooked up to an air compressor. Okay? Are soda bottles made to get hooked up to air compressors? No. What are soda bottles made for? They're made to hold soda, and they're pretty good at it, right? I mean, if you drop them, they don't work so good, but overall, they're pretty good. So what we're going to do here is we're going to see what happens when pressure is filled with, when the soda bottle is filled with pressure. Oops, wait, hold on. I went too fast. There we go. Soda bottle is expanding right now. The pressure is getting higher and higher. And it gets to a point of no return. And so, can we just get a serious here for just a minute? There's some people that aren't here today. There's some people who've walked away from God. And you know why that is? Because the world and the pressure of the world and the pressure to conform to what the world offers was more attractive to them than to God. And they didn't disconnect. They didn't disconnect from the pressure that the world had on them. And so ultimately, spiritually, they didn't survive that. Now the prayer is what? Everyone comes back, right? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I bet there's people in here who've been restored. Amen. Right? We got to pray for everyone to come back to God. But the reason why people leave is because there's a lot of pressure they're feeling. There's a lot going on. Maybe at the job, maybe in the world, maybe this, maybe that. And ultimately, they don't disconnect and reconnect back to God. So, how do we get stronger? We got a decision to make. We can become a stronger bottle, or we can decrease the pressure, right? Like in that, like we just saw there, we can make a stronger bottle, right? We can all become stronger spiritually on the outside, or we can decrease the pressure. Does that make sense? Build a stronger bottle or decrease the pressure. Okay, so here we go. Let's look at Jesus for a second. Jesus. In the Bible, there's 89 chapters. If you look at from Matthew to John, there's 89 chapters. 17 of those chapters account for the pre-ministry of Jesus. In other words, talking like Matthew 1, 2, and 3, Jesus is just, he's born, here's what's happened. So if you take a look at that, there's about, I'm sorry you can't see this very well, usually the red shows up, but it's pretty hard to see. So there's 72 remaining chapters that cover the ministry of Jesus. Everybody with me? 72 total chapters that cover the ministry of Jesus. Out of those 72 chapters, 42 or 58% contain Jesus teaching about the poor or serving the poor. Okay, so about 6 out of every 10 have an example of that. 15 of those chapters, or about 21%, have between 2 and 4 accounts of Jesus loving the poor, serving the poor, and giving to the poor. Okay? Why is that significant? 80% of what we know about Jesus that's recorded in the scriptures are showing him either teaching about the poor or serving the poor. 80%! And I think about my life, and I'm like, man, if someone was to write a book about me, what percentage of my life would be covering me loving and serving the poor? I'll be a Christian 30 years coming up in October. Grateful for that. The first 25 of them, maybe 3% of the time. You know, door knocking, you know, putting out the hope flyers and things like that. But it just wasn't on my radar whatsoever. And I succumbed to all the pressure that we just talked about in all those different ways. And, you know, the last 5 years have been awesome. I'm still totally not where I need to be. But it's like trying to understand, you know, why did Jesus spend 80% of his time, again, of what we have in the scriptures, working with the poor, serving the needs of the poor? Listen to this. I'm going to wear my glasses for a second. Okay. We have needs. This is by Seth Godin. I want to read this to you. We have needs. We have wants that become needs as soon as our previous needs are met. And we have wishes which become wants soon enough. Follow that? So imagine a conveyor belt, right? So we've got needs on the conveyor belt. And as we meet those needs, what do we also have? On the shelf we have our wants, right? So our wants, once we meet a need, the wants fall on the conveyor belt and it just never ends, right? And then another shelf is our wishes. So, our want became a need, so guess what our wishes became? Our wishes became a want and then a need. And then I'm standing here at the end of the conveyor belt like Lucille Ball trying to eat all the chocolates, right? And it just keeps flowing and keeps flowing and keeps flowing. As Abraham Joshua Herschel has pointed out, there is a minimum set of needs that must be met for any organism to survive, but it's not clear that there's a maximum. And marketing, the billions of dollars in ads and interruptions that drive our economy work overtime to increase our maximum. You follow? So marketing, like how many needs can I max out on? Marketing is like more. You can have more. You can have more needs. There's an unlimited amount to remind us of our wants or invent them. So what's the point of needing more than anyone else? Listen to this. Needing gives away our authority and freedom. Being in the needing state, which our society is trying to constantly put us on, being needed, on the other hand, is an opportunity to contribute and to make a difference. Being needed, on the other hand, is an opportunity to contribute and make a difference. I'll never forget, as Susan mentioned, we volunteer at the Hope Camden Street School in Newark, New Jersey. And this could have been any school. It just happened to be the Camden Street School in Newark. And my son, Seth, was there. And he got a chance to play, to really kind of mentor and kind of... There wasn't an assignment of mentors to children, but he got to play with this little gentleman, and they had a great time. My son Seth didn't come back the next week, and this little boy was like, "Where's Seth? Where's Seth? Where's Seth?" We're like, "Oh, he couldn't come. He really wanted to come, but he couldn't come." And the little boy starts crying. The principal of the school, who's a disciple, said that little boy had been stabbed multiple times by his mother. And then his mother took her own life right in front of him. And I say that to say that Seth was needed by that little guy. You know? How does it feel to be needed? It feels pretty awesome, doesn't it? Look at this. I don't know, can you see this picture okay? It's a guy carrying a little boy. Can you see that? What do you think is going on in the boy's head, the older guy right there carrying the little boy? What do you think is going on in his head? Dickie's thinking, shh, my nose is too big. I don't like my nose. I got this little thing on it. Everyone makes fun of it. You think he's thinking that? You think he's thinking, gosh, I don't really like this shirt too much. I wish I had a new shirt right now. You think he's thinking that? Think he's thinking about a new iPhone, new computer, new house, new girlfriend? What's he thinking about? This is awesome. What do you think this little kid right here is thinking? As he's asleep on his shoulder. I love this guy. Right? Let's see what he's thinking. This is an article written by the older gentleman carrying the child. He says this: I truly had no idea what it meant to serve. Sure, in church, I see people serving in the song ministry or serving in the children's ministry. But what it meant to serve outside the church walls became clear to me on this Hope Youth Corps. I quickly realized that my focus on the Hope Youth Corps and back home was not on serving God, and that needed to change. Through helping build houses, serving communities, and serving children, and seeing children's eyes light up, I started to feel a longing to serve and wanted to focus on that and nothing else. The Hope Youth Corps took me back to the roots of God and our relationship and reawakened things in my character I thought I had conquered but hadn't, and I'm better for it. Isn't that awesome? It's awesome. I mean, he just everything happened in that moment. He's like, this is what it's all about. It's not about needing everything. It's about giving everything. It's about helping other people. Do you know that 50% of the teens who go on the Hope Youth Corps come back to, like, become disciples? 50%. Most of them, a lot of them are already disciples, but the ones who aren't come back. 50% become disciples. There's a program called Hope Scouts. And we just got a chance to go away to Nicaragua on a community service brigade. We got back this past Tuesday. And we went with the family that created Hope Scouts, Isabel and her mom, Ilda. Ilda told us that out of the original Hope Scout team, which is about 10 kids when they were like 7 to 9 years old, 100% of them have become disciples. You want to tell me that serving doesn't change the heart of a children? Let's hear for that. That's pretty awesome. When we are needed, the pressure from the world just goes out. The compressor turns off. We disengage from what the world's offering. And because we do, this is a picture here. This was last week here in Nicaragua. This was Keenan's third year going there. This was Alaire's first year going there. And then my wife's first time in Nicaragua. A great time. I definitely recommend it. I know everyone can't go, but if you're planning a family vacation and you're going to spend the money, I definitely recommend them. They're only 3 days, 3 to 4 days, so it's not a lot of time away. Really great times. But what happens is you're able to withstand the great force of pressure. Jesus never sinned. And my conviction about it is he's God and he's awesome, but he didn't consider God with something to be qualified, something to be, he didn't consider, you know, when he came to earth, the power of sinlessness. He fought for every righteous act. Are you with me? But he spent 80% from the scriptures, what? Serving, being needed. What can we learn from that? You can't make it with just the pressure of the world and just not serving. There's no, I mean, that's, you know, it's, so we're able to withstand the great force of pressure. We can be stronger spiritually if we turn the pressure down by the world by serving. Anybody here fans of turkey? We like turkey here? We like Thanksgiving? All right. In this picture right here, this is a turkey if you can't see it, okay? Let me ask you a question. How much would I have to pay him to finish that turkey? You think if I paid him $100, he could finish that? Based off that picture? It's just not happening, right? You ever feel like that after Thanksgiving? Like this, I cannot fit another bite, right? They're full. It doesn't matter what you put in front of them. They're completely washed out. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. We can be so full of God. We can be so full loving other people that when Satan comes with all his temptations, this is what we look like. Satan, you know what? Even if I wanted to do that, I can't. I'm so full serving, right? Does that make sense? I mean, come on. When have you ever gone out and served people and you come home and you're like, man, that was the biggest waste. I hated that. That was just the worst thing, serving, making people happy, giving them... You ever do that coming home from serving? No, you come home like, that was awesome. But when have you spent like an hour, you know, on Facebook or something, and then after that you're like, gosh, what was I doing? I was like on that for an hour. And it can drain us, right? We're seeing everything else everyone has. So, just to end out here and close out, number one is love God with all your strength. Let's make sure that we're being like Jesus in the world and serving with our Hope Worldwide family. You know, when opportunities come up, to take advantage and understand that's going to help us be stronger spiritually. Disconnect from the compressor of lies. If there's something going on in your life right now and you're not being open and honest about it, man, talk to somebody. Get some advice. Get some help. Get out of that situation. Get disconnected. Fill up with meeting the needs of others. And finally, encourage others to do the same. Thank you guys so much. It's been great being here today. Let's be strong for God.
Great job.
You've just listened to the Westchester Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit westchester.nyc.coc.net.